Hope you're still there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 as we begin our lesson this evening. If you remember back, I'm not the best at this, but like when I give a sermon title, sometimes I have something in mind, and as I get to studying about it, it changes. And that's what happened this time. I'm going to give you the sermon title that I gave for the month, and I was going to preach it right here from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 1, and that title was The Good Deposit. And I want us to see that, and I want you to see for a second, I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this good deposit. Look there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, and notice what Paul tells Timothy to do. He says, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Now what he says after that would be a little weird. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. What is this good deposit? What is this deposit that he's supposed to guard, that he's supposed to keep, he's supposed to watch out about? Look at chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Start with me I'm going to read verse 13 again. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Well, he tells him there in verse 13 what I think the deposit is. The deposit are those sound words, those healthy words that come from God. It's the things that he's taught them that are true in Christ Jesus. As you look in chapter 2 and verse 2 of 2 Timothy, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He's saying, give the words that I have given you from the Lord, give them to other people. And so we were going to talk about entrusting the word, guarding the good deposit. Well, I got to thinking about it a little more as I was doing some more study in the Kings. I got to thinking about, what do you do with a deposit? Where do you put a deposit? You deposit something in a bank, right? You got some money, I got paid, right? What do? I go to the bank and I put it in there. What I expect when I come back or when I swipe my debit card or when I go up to the ATM machine and I'm going to pull out a little cash, what am I expecting? I'm expecting that money that I deposited in is going to be there and I'm going to be able to use it, right? Well, you know what's a good deposit? The words of the Lord. When the Lord says something, you know what you can do? You can take it to the bank. And it will be there. And that's what I want us to focus on, is the good deposit of the word the Lord has given us. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 2. Now, the last few Sunday nights that I've been speaking, we've been talking about the kings of Judah. And we've been looking at several of them. Remember, we've had this theme verse, haven't we? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, just remind us of what that verse says. The Lord says, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their evil way, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will heal their land. We remember us talking about that, right? And we looked at numerous examples from Jehoshaphat, from Asa, of people who sought the Lord. Well, now we get to King Jehoiakim in 2 Kings chapter 24. In 2 Chronicles, it just tells us that he was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. But I want us to see what is said about Jehoiakim, one of the last kings in Judah. Start with me there in verse 1, actually, of 2 Kings 24. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up. And Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. And then he returned and rebelled against him. He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the Ammonite, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, that he spoke by his servants, the prophets. We're going to focus on this here in just a moment as we go to the book of Jeremiah. But what I want you to see is in the book of 2 Kings and in the book of 1 Kings, just like we see 2 Chronicles 7:14 all throughout 2 Chronicles, you're going to see a phrase repeated over and over and over again to the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. And it's that this happened according to the word of the Lord by his prophets. What God said was going to happen. So begin with me. And 2 Kings is not even nearly as full and as many as 1 Kings has. If you just read through 1 Kings, you'd be like, boom, 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 boom. 2 Kings is just going to be like, boom, 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 boom. It's a little slower, but it's still all throughout. Start with me in chapter 1 of 2 Kings. You end the book with this statement of, according to the word of the Lord by his servant the prophets. I'll start there in 2 Kings with me, chapter 1 and verse 17. And what is said about King Ahaziah. Verse 17. So he died according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Elijah, a prophet, had spoken. And Jehoram became king in his place. He died according to the word of the Lord by Elijah. What did Elijah say about it? Go back up to verse 16. And he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire his word? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So verse 17, so he died according to the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Why is he killed? Why is Ahaziah killed? He sought the gods rather than seeking the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He didn't seek the Lord. That's one instance. Go to chapter 4 and verse 44. This is the instance when Elisha has all these, there's several hundred men around him, and all they have is about 20 loaves of barley bread. And he says, this isn't enough to feed the people. But verse 43, the servant said, how can I set this before 100 men? So they repeated, give them the men that they may eat. Thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left. The Lord says, there's going to be plenty. So 44. So he set it before them. And they ate and had some left according to the word of the Lord. There's our phrase. It happened just as the prophet said. Look at chapter 7, verse 16. But to start before we get to 16, we need to start in verse 7. A pretty amazing statement is made in verse 1 of chapter 7. Elisha, there's our prophet, said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a seah of flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So two. Then the captain, on whose hand the king leaned, said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Basically, what the prophet says is tomorrow everything is going to be insanely cheap. And the captain says, if God was to open up the storehouses of heaven, it couldn't be that cheap. You know what verse 16 says? Look at verse 16. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. The Lord said it was going to happen, and it happened. We're just getting started. I'm not going to go through them all with you. I'm going to give you the passages, and if you're taking notes, you can write them down if you want. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 26. 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 16. They it just keeps going on and on and on. I do want us to look at 2 Kings chapter 23, though. Look at 2 Kings chapter 23. This is King Josiah. And we probably recognize the king, the name Josiah. He's one of the good kings, right? And he's going to do something pretty amazing here in 2 Kings chapter 23. Start with me in verse 15. Moreover, the altar at Bethel, the high place, erected by Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now, let's remember who Jeroboam the son of Nebat is, right? Jeroboam was the first king in the northern tribes of Israel. When the kingdom split, Rehoboam reigned in the south, Jeroboam went to the north. And Jeroboam set up these altars in Bethel and Dan so that the people would not come down to worship in Jerusalem. It's one of those altars. So they offered to these golden calves up there. So Jeroboam said, need that, pick back up with me in verse 15. Who had made Israel to sin. And that altar with the high place he pulled down and burned, reducing it to dust. And he also burned the Asherah. So he pulls down the altar and he burns it. He pulls down the god and he burns it. So for 16. And as Josiah turned, he saw the tombs there on the mount. And he sent and he took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it, according to the word of the Lord that the man of God proclaimed who had predicted these things. He's even burning human bones on this altar to defile. And it's happening according to the word that the Lord spoke by his prophets. You know when the Lord spoke about this? You'll know the story. Go to 1 Kings chapter 13. You'll know the story because this is the story that we talk about with our young prophet and our old prophet. Remember, our young prophet is told to go to Jeroboam and to speak to Jeroboam. And he's told, don't eat with anybody, don't talk to anybody, don't go anywhere on your way, you just come straight back. You remember there was the old prophet, right? He pulls him in and says, hey, come eat with me. And he says, no. The young prophet says, no, I can't eat with you. The Lord told me not to eat with you. The old prophet said, hey, the Lord spoke to me too. He said, hey, you can eat with him. But the text says, and he lied to him. So you remember what happened, right? He leaves the old man's house, time to go back. He goes out and what mauls him? Lying, dead, boom. He didn't keep the word of the Lord. It's that story, it is that young prophet who tells Jeroboam about that. Basically hundreds of years ago. Look at that in chapter 13, verse 1 of 1 Kings. And behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. And Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make the offering. So let's get our setting, right? We're in Bethel, and Jeroboam the king is standing next to the altar, and he's about to offer sacrifices on this altar. And the man cried out against him in verse 2, the altar by the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who make sacrifices, who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. Hundreds of years before, the prophet says, this is what is going to happen on this altar, and I'll tell you exactly who's going to do it. That's when we get to 2 Kings 23, verse 16. Josiah tearing down the altar, burning the human bones on there, just as the Lord had said, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by his prophets. When the Lord says something, you can take it to the bank. But you know what people do when the Lord speaks sometimes? You have people who react differently. You have some who hear it gladly. You got some who don't want to hear it. And that gets us to King Jehoiakim. And so if you're still there in 2 Kings, I want us to read 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 2 one more time. What happens to him in 2 Kings 24 and verse 2? The Lord Lord sent against him, and that is Jehoiakim. Bands of the Chaldeans, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and the bands of the Ammonites, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord spoken by his prophets. You think we got anything written about what the prophet said to Jehoiakim? Well, we do. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 36. For the remainder of this lesson, we're going to look at two chapters. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 36. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 35. In Jeremiah chapter 36, I want you to see during whose reign it is. Verse 1. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, our king that the Lord sent bands down to destroy, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah. So some word is going to come to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is told to write down these words. Read it with me. Verse 2. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until now. Write about what's about to happen. Verse 3. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Jeremiah, write down what I'm about to do so that this people might return. They might turn from their evil ways, and I would heal their iniquity. Does that sound familiar to anything? About 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. So Jeremiah does exactly what that is. He gives the word to Baruch the scribe. And so Baruch is going to write down the words on the scroll. And so Jeremiah gives Baruch gives him a command. He says, you go read it. Look with me in verse 5. Jeremiah said, I'm banned from going to the house of the Lord. So you are to go. And on the day of fasting, in the hearing of all the people in the Lord's house, you shall read the words of the Lord from the scroll that you have written in my dictation. And you shall read them also in the hearing of all the men of Judah who come out of their cities. What you need to do, you go when the feast is given, which was a fast. Everyone's in the house of the Lord, you read this scroll. Don't just do it there in the city. You go out to everywhere in Judah. You go out to all the cities and you read this scroll. Because notice what he says. Verse 7. It may be that their plea for mercy will come before the Lord, and that everyone will turn away from his evil way. For great is the anger and the wrath that the Lord has pronounced against this people. The hope again is read it to them and they might change. So Baruch reads it. And Baruch gathers there at the feast, and he reads it there in verse 10. Then in the hearing of all the people, Baruch read the words of Jeremiah from the scroll in the house of the Lord. So verse 11, there's a guy who hears. Baruch does his job. There's a guy who hears by the name of Micaiah. And Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, verse 11, son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the scroll. And he went down to the king's house, into the secretary's chamber, and all the officials were sitting there. And he goes on to name these officials. And so he goes, and notice what he does with all these officials, 13. And Micaiah told them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the scroll in the hearing of the people. He's there at the temple. He hears it read, and what's he got to do? He goes to the king's house, to the king's men, and tells them all the words that they heard. What do you think they're going to do? 14. Then all the officials sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, son of Shemaliah, son of Cushi, to say to Baruch, take in your hand the scroll that you read in the morning of the people, in the hearing of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neri, came. And they said, sit down and read. Okay, now they've got to hear it for themselves. Give us this scroll. So Baruch comes to him, and he sits down and he reads it, right? So keep reading. So verse 16. When they heard all the words, they turned to one another in fear. You know what happened when they heard the words? I imagine it's probably the same thing that Micaiah felt. I imagine Micaiah was scared to death. The Lord is coming. He's bringing all these people against us. He's bringing all these nations. If we don't get our act together, we are done. And these officials are afraid. And the officials asked, did you really get this from the Lord? Did this come from Jeremiah? And he said, yeah, Jeremiah got it. He told me the words and I wrote it down. You know what they tell them to do? Go hide. You and Jeremiah, go hide. Because they know what the king is about to do. So notice that. They go, they tell them to hide there, verse 19. So go to verse 20. So now these officials of the king, they've hid the scribe and they've hid the prophet who said disaster is coming on this place. Verse 20. They went into the court of the king. They put the scroll where they put the scroll, 21. And they sent the king to Jehudi to get the scroll. And he took it from the chamber. So now they're before the king and all his officials. So verse 22. It was the 9th month. And it's the 5th year. Verse 9 would tell us it's the 5th year in the 9th month. It's the 5th month. And the king was sitting in the winter house. And there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. And Jehudi read 3 or 4 columns. The king would cut them off with a knife and would throw it into the fire pot. Is that the kind of reaction to give when you read the words of the Lord? You know what? I don't like that. Throw it in the fire. This guy didn't feel the same way when he read. Keep reading with me. 24. Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments. They're not even in the slightest bit worried. The arrogance, that is, look at me. They don't fear what is about to happen. In verse 25, even when Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah, some of the officials that listened before, they urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. The people who heard it and were afraid were saying, don't do this, don't do this, at the cost of their own life. And the king still ripped it up, threw it in the fire. You know what? You know what that's kind of like? That's kind of like hide and go seek, right? Go play hide and go seek with a little kid. I got the diaper. I don't have the old, they call it a spit rag diaper, right? Got it sitting right here on my shoulder. So you say, can't see me, you put it over your face. Oh, you can't see me. Kid, can kid see you? Right there, right? Everything's right there. Kid, oh, there I am. Oh, not there. No, oh. Bible away, saying if I get rid of it, it's not going to happen. Just because you throw the Bible out the window doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Just because you throw it in the fire doesn't mean it's not going to happen. When the Lord says something, you can take it to the bank. Whether you like it or whether you don't, it's going to happen. And so they go. The king is upset. The king is upset and he says, seize Baruch and Jeremiah. But the Lord hid them. The verse tells us, verse 26. So 27. It says you can't throw the Bible out the window. You can't throw a scroll and burn it. It do you any good, right? Verse 27. In fact, it makes things worse. Verse 27. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words that Baruch wrote at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. You know what's amazing about God? He doesn't have to take notes. He doesn't have to set up little post-it note reminders of, what did I say about that? He knows exactly what He said. He said, guess what? Jeremiah, write it down again. But this time I'm going to add a few things to it. Notice that verse 29. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, why, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will cut off from it man and beast? There's your reason of why Jehoiakim was so upset. It's because the Lord had said, this land is done by Babylon. Man and beast, you're done. So 30. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He shall have none to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out by heat day and frost by night. And I'll punish him and his offspring and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the people of Judah all the disaster that I pronounced against them, but they would not hear. Jehoiakim had a chance to turn around. Jehoiakim had a chance to humble himself before the Lord. But Jehoiakim said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw this junk away. It ain't going to happen. And I'm reminded of some of the words of Jesus. Jesus will say, remember the parable or the story about the guy who had a demon? And the demon was cast out. And the demon returns and the house is all swept and in order. And so what does he do? He brings seven of his friends with him. And the Bible says that the last state is worse than the first. Or you think about what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 when it talks about Christians going back and sinning in the world. It's like a couple of things. It's like a dog that returns to eat its vomit. And it's like a pig that has been washed returning to the mud. Says, the last state is worse than the first. It was going to be bad for Jehoiakim. There's no doubt in my mind that in those words, it was bad. But the Lord added similar words, the text said. Now concerning Jehoiakim, now your family will not sit on my throne. Your bones as a king are going to be thrown outside. Meaning no one cares about you. The last state was worse than the first. And you know what happens? The worst of the Lord. Exactly what he says happens, happens. So I remind you of 2 Kings 24 verse 2. All those nations coming against him according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by his prophets. Micaiah, Elnathan, and Gershom and all those guys, they listened. He did not. But I guess this is chapter 35. A contrast of sorts with Jehoiakim. The Lord speaks to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 35, and he says, go to the sons of Rechab. He says, offer them wine. Tell them to drink wine. Bring them to your house and have them drink wine. So Jeremiah took them in verse 3. So verse 4. I brought them to the house of the Lord into the chamber of the sons of Haran, the son of Igdala, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, above the chamber of Hosea. That's basically where they're at, verse 5. Then I set before the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they answered, we will drink no wine. For our father, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, you shall not drink wine, neither you nor your sons forever. He says, you got these pitchers full right in front of them. They said, no, we won't drink this wine. Because our father, our grandfather, told us not to. Our grandfather said, don't drink of this wine. And our father said, don't drink of this wine. So therefore, we're not going to drink of this wine. That's not all that he said. Look at there in verse 7 as well. Father also said, you shall not build a house, and you shall not sow seed, and you shall not plant or have a vineyard, but you shall live in tents all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. On top of you, don't drink wine, he says, guess what? You can't ever have a house. You've got to live in a tent all the days of your life. I'd be thinking, Granddad, are you serious? But guess what they did? They kept the words of their father. Look at this verse 8. We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Reuben, our father, and all that he commanded us, to drink no wine all our days, ourselves, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, and not to build houses that we dwell in. And we have no vineyard, or field, or seed. But we have lived in tents and have obeyed and done all that Jonadab our father commanded us. We kept his word. So the only reason we're here in Jerusalem now is because we got scared of Nebuchadnezzar. Why do you think the Lord had Jeremiah come to him? Why do you think the Lord had Jeremiah say, hey, invite the Rechabites to drink some wine? The Lord wasn't tempting them. It wasn't a temptation to them. They were dead set. They weren't going to do it. I'll tell you why he did. Read verse 12. Where the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and listen to my words? Declares the Lord. The command that Jonadab the son of Rechab gave to his sons to drink no wine has been kept, and they drink none to this day. For they have obeyed their father's command. But I have spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened to me. I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently, saying, turn now, every one of you, from his evil way, and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods and serve them. And then you will dwell in the land that I gave to you and your fathers. But you did not incline your ear or listen to me. You got this family who is listening to their father. And their father is saying, don't do some really tough things. He says, I sent you prophet after prophet after prophet. You didn't listen to them. They heard it. It was read in all the hearing of the people. But they didn't obey. And the Lord says this, verse 17. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because I am bringing upon Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them and they have not listened. I have called to them, but they have not answered. They had a chance to avert this destruction, but they refused. So that reminds me of the New Testament principle. Remember what James says in James chapter 1, verse 22? Be not hearers of the word only, but doers, deceiving yourself. How many times do we feel bad when we hear the word of God read to us? We hear something that makes us afraid. We're like Micah and all those guys. It makes us afraid. We see, man, if I don't straighten up, and we walk out those doors right there, we walk down the steps, we get in the car, and we thought nothing else about it. Boy, man, that word of God, man, that really hit me today. Oh, did it? You heard it. Please listen to him. He's calling out, amend your ways, turn from your evil. How many times I feel like we just get comfortable because we read and we're listening? What the Lord says will come true. You can take that to the bank. Give the Lord your ear. Don't delay. Don't bring judgment upon yourself because you refuse to listen. like the Rechabites, who obeyed their father at all things. Let's be that people. But know for certain, if the Lord says, no immoral, no idolater, no adulterer, no sexually immoral, no liar, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what that means? No sexually immoral, no adulterer, no liar, no whatever will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the Lord's warning. Don't ignore it. Listen to him. You're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway. We'd ask that you come now and you stand.